You're listening to the 405 Exchange Podcast. My name is Ken Grandpierre. Today's episode is with Camille Trust. New York is a place that attracts people from all over the world. What's always a marvel is when people are able to come here and not only make it their home, but also embody everything the city is about. Camille Trust is just like that. She's one of those people who seamlessly embodies the electric energy that you only find here in New York. That loud approach to life mixed with the direct approach to sharing her feelings is what you'll find on her beautiful EP, No Other Way. A few weeks back, I sat with Camille to dig deeply into the EP, what it's been like to create in New York, and what we can expect from her next. This is the 405 Exchange with Camille Trust. Enjoy. Gotta show up, gotta roll up while I'm riding on this. So back in May, you released your debut EP, and I just have to know, what was it like for you to finally have that out for the world to hear?
Honestly, it was really extremely fulfilling in a lot of ways, because as an independent artist and doing this whole thing and doing this hustle yourself, you definitely can find a lot of reasons to not release things. I not even just as an individual, anybody that has creative projects, and then they're just like, oh shit, like, this is holding me back, or I don't want to do this, or this is making me feel XYZ. Nah, what if they don't like it? There's all these, you know, hesitations. So then finally to just be like, you know what? This is me in this moment, trying to just putting it out. It really felt like, honestly, a whole, it was just great to find to finally like regurgitate this thing, or to put out this thing, to crank out this thing that I've been wanting and holding to mine for, like, you know, onto this music for like a year at that point, you know, through processes and through different stages and things like that. So it felt dope. It was great.
That's awesome. And reflecting on that even further, I'm so curious, when do you feel like you realized that pursuing music full time is something that you really wanted to do? Like, when do you think that became clear to you?
Oh, honey. Honey, since day one, I always knew that I wanted to sing. I always knew. My mom told me this story once, that, like, when we were kids, I was young, I don't even remember doing this, but when I was super young, I always sang, and I always loved to sing, and I was always singing in any capacity that I could, and then, you know, doing community theater when I was really young and things like that. We were, like, watching TV, and someone was singing on the TV, and I, like, turned to my mom. I'm young as shit, because I don't even remember this. And I was just like, that will be me one day. She's like, okay, girl. Like, geez. So, always. I didn't know necessarily how to do it or pursue it for a long time, but I always knew that I wanted to sing and have singing be the thing. Yeah. So.
That's really awesome. And, like, did you grow up here in New York? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Florida.
Oh, whereabouts in Florida?
Tampa. Well, Lutz, which is like a suburb north of Tampa, pretty smaller little suburban town, out on the outskirts of Tampa, Florida.
Yeah. A really good friend of mine from college is from Sebring, and I remember I went to visit her like years ago. It's about pretty much around the same area, and I just remember being, because we have family in Fort Lauderdale, so I only knew that as the context of Florida growing up. We'd go to visit them. Mm. And a couple years back, I went to visit my friend in Sebring, and it was like, this is a different planet.
We out here. What'd you say?
When did you get to New York?
I got to New York 6 years ago, so since the end of 2012. Yeah, the math is right. So not 6 years yet, right?
Roughly.
We're getting there.
Was it specifically music that brought you here, or like the idea to pursue it?
No, actually, I went to school for theater, so I always knew I wanted to live in New York, regardless of what stage I was going to be singing on. I always knew that I would be in New York, even like growing up in Lutz and just being like, these friendships are cute and everything, but I'm on to bigger and better things. I always knew in my head I was going to be living here. So studied theater at Florida State University, and then came here just sort of as a continuation of pursuing theater, yeah. I guess. And then would just sing, and like just the way that I sang and the stylistically, and had a lot of pop flares, and I'm like riffing all over the place. It was not in that realm of necessarily strictly musical theater. So I was like, okay, what do I do? How do I, like, you know, shake this? I wanted to say shake this bone, but I don't even think you can say shake this bone. But like in the term of like, it scratched that itch.
Yeah. But what's cool about a place like this is that you find, like, I like to tell friends and people that one of the best things is to be in New York and be confused about what you want to do, because you'd be hard pressed to find a better place where you could be confused and then find a path just right around the corner, like a path to follow.
Literally.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very true. It is very true. And there's just like so much buzzing energy in this. Everyone is just out here hustling. So every single person has ideas and fresh ideas and projects and all these things. And so there's definitely this community of that. That's beautiful.
Yeah, I'm curious because like something that I always tend to find with people who come here, and me myself as well, when I came here, it was definitely with the idea to find other creative people and finding a way to pursue creativity and having that be my life. I'm always kind of struck by how the contrast of that desire, there's always a contrast between the desire of doing that and actually doing it. Did you find yourself surprised about what it was like to actually be here as time developed? Like as like days and weeks and months went by with you being here? Or did it turn out being kind of like what you expected?
No, there's definitely a few months, maybe years of like trying to just like fully pin down what exactly it was that I was doing in the pursuit of how to do that and finding that right lane, as you say, that path or that like way of going to from A to B, and how do I get there? I want to do this, but I don't even know who to call. I don't even know anybody, you know, and especially moving here, I didn't know really anybody in the business and the industry of what I wanted to pursue. I knew a lot of musical theater people, but I didn't know anybody like in the music world or in the music scene or in the jam scene or in the session scene and things like that. And so there definitely is a lot of running around of like trying to just taking tastes and, you know, going around the food court, so to speak, and having your free samples. Those free samples, first of all, side note, were so good.
Yeah, right?
That chicken teriyaki, like, always got me.
I love how there's always... I love how no matter where you go, like any mall or strip mall or shop, there's always chicken teriyaki for sale.
And it's bang.
It's fucking the best. You're good at analogies, man, I have to say.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's the coffee. But, so yeah, and you're like trying all the things and then you want to try to figure it out, but then at the same time, it's like, once you find that right, you know, once you find that Sapporo pizza, okay, but in the sense of... Can you still hear me from this angle?
Yeah, I can, actually.
I'm much more comfortable.
I can hear you. Like, let's go. It blows my mind. It feels like you're jumping into, like, my mall experiences in Westchester, New York, knowing what free samples they have. That's kind of trippy.
Bear bang. But in the sense of just, like, trying to find that path, it wasn't, like, by no means is it easy. And I'm still learning, and I'm still trying, and I'm still going and pursuing and finding, you know, what is it.
Yeah. I want to jump into the EP specifically, and starting with that, I wanted to ask about Move On. That was the first song of yours that I heard, and I feel anyone who's ever been through a breakup can relate, specifically one of the breakups we tend to have here in New York. What was it like for you not to just write the song, but to also record it? Because there has to be something to being so direct on a song like that.
Yeah, I definitely feel with that song specifically, because I previously recorded that song. The song was recorded a few times. So I previously recorded it in a demo version days after this breakup. It was definitely like just a whole smackdown of emotions. And then re-recorded it. And then in that record, every time you record it, you know, it definitely just feeling it going back to that place and is truly... very vulnerable. It's very almost difficult to go back there because it's like, for me in that moment, you know, it is like I'm literally saying I can't move on, right? And in that moment when I first wrote it, I did feel truly that feeling. And then time passes, but then you have to revisit that emotion every time for me, because as a performer I like to truly go all the way the fuck in.
Yeah.
that it's, you know, going back to that place every single time I perform it, and when I was recording it too, and when I recorded the music video, and every time, you know, I have to perform that song or be revisited with that song or rejoined with that song. It definitely is a big, you know, this push and pull and the constant cycle of like, we know we can do it, no, fuck, like, we suck, and then we can't get it right, no, but we love each other, but we can, and it's like, and it's so, yes, New York relationships are like that.
No, totally, because, like, I mentioned that, like, when I asked you the question, I feel like for people listening who might not be familiar with what, like, New York is like, I feel, and, you know, definitely chime in if you think I'm, like, going the wrong way with this, but I feel like with how difficult it could be just to, like, go through a day-to-day here, just trying to, like, make it, you could feel both so alone and almost feel like the world in the form of the city is almost, like, against you, that if you're going through a breakup, you almost find your brain going, like, well, maybe that person wasn't as bad as I thought they were. I mean, this person was there for me, and I almost feel like I need that. Like, would it be fair to say you felt that, like, similarly in some regard?
For sure. I mean, I definitely, it's crazy because New York, there's so populous, right? There's so many fucking people walking around. You're surrounded by people all the time. There's always, you know, I don't want to say there's always eyes on you because that sounds terrifying. But in the terms of like, there's always someone within like 5 feet of you at all times for the most part. And it's really crazy because it is extremely isolating, and there'll be days where like you're just running around and doing all these things and you're like, wow, I haven't spoken to anyone at all because I've just been like running errands or doing all this shit for like, I gotta go do this, and you're like, wow, I haven't like had an exchange with another human being, but yet I was in the city surrounded by people all day and I didn't even really like talk.
It's really trippy.
And then finding a companion or finding a partner and finding someone who like listens to you at the end of the day and things, and living in the city, that it is so hard, and especially in an industry that it is so, you know, challenging in the sense of just like hustling all the time and, you know, working, and then you're like, okay, finally I get to decompress with a human and like release all that shit on with them. Whatever, you feel those feelings with them and you're like with them, and then so yeah, it definitely is a vicious cycle and it's an emotional thing. I also think it's very, as an artist, and this is so fucked up, but it's like I would rather feel the highs and the lows
on the extremes
yeah. as opposed to just feeling complacent or feeling fine. I would rather feel fucking ecstatic, orgasmically happy, and then like shit deep than to just be like coasting.
I'm sure there's definitely people who would, you know what I love about you saying that? I'm sure there's people who feel the same way but don't even feel like they have the bravery from themselves to say it out loud. So good on you for like projecting that.
Thank you.
You know, like musicians are always asked about the reactions of their songs, like in terms of a wider audience and like how people react to their songs. But when I listened to Move On, I couldn't help but think, especially knowing how you're an independent artist, I couldn't help but think to myself, I wonder what Camille's friends thought about this song. Like, the people immediately close in your life. Like, because imagine, like, those are the first people who would have heard the song. And to have, like, was that interesting for you, having people in your life react to a song like that? Considering they probably know what the song is about.
Exactly, yes. I mean, I think that they, like, it's interesting because they do know the whole story and they know the whole backstory and they're so familiar with it. But also because that song, it's so interesting because that song has sort of, you know, shown through amongst the other songs. And me as myself as a personality is this very loud, gregarious, like, no fucks given vibe. And proud, confident bitch, like, move the fuck over, this pussy's ready. But then at the same time, it's like, at the same time, there is this extremely vulnerable side because every person has so many different emotions and so many different sides to themselves that it's beautiful to see that people are like, oh, whoa, like, I heard that. Like, the fact that you said that wasn't even the first song off of the EP that I released as a single, but that's the first one that you heard because it's showing a vulnerable side of me, and I was honestly nervous to show it to people because it was showing like how much pain that I was feeling at that time, and you know, and that's scary to show people and to show it on such a major platform of like anyone in the world has access to hear this very vulnerable song of mine is crazy.
It really is. And, you know, going into, like, going to go deeper with another song of yours, I feel like the experience of recording Lose You must have felt creatively inspiring for you in regards to, like, having your feelings out there, but also in terms of writing. Because I feel like the way that song came out, Lose You, the writing in that is so interesting. I'd love to hear the story behind that one.
So Lose You is kind of off of the same... It's from the same relationship as Move On, right? We had the Lose You and then we had the Move On.
Yeah.
But the Lose You sort of... Writing-wise, it was... I was writing with these... with this writing production team called Roseland Songs, who, they're wonderful. And I think they kind of would... So we, at the beginning of every session, we would just, like, talk, and I would sort of, you know... release what I was feeling on that certain day, and that on that certain day, on the, in that particular day, it was sort of like there was just such a push and pull. There's always is with this certain relationship that I'm keep speaking about, but and with relationships in general, and with your relationship with yourself, there's such a push and pull of like I want it, and then you're like ah fuck, like actually I'm good, and then you but you're like no, but I miss it, and then you so you're just going back and forth in that,
yeah.
And so. With Lose You, it was just sort of this narrative of, like, I was literally saying these words, like, I come home late all the time, he has to wake up really early, I never see him anymore because I'm, like, working on my career all the time, and I definitely am someone who's just, like, so driven on having success for myself and as an artist and being able to express what I have and give my gift and share my gift that I've been blessed with, and how do I proceed to express that and then try to fucking maintain a normal monogamous fucking relationship, like what even is that, and trying to just like do these things. And it is so Lose You is kind of just like when someone can get so wrapped up in emotions and you're like what if we just chilled, like what if we could all just chill, then maybe like because we got to keep it cool because like clearly we get so heated all the time because it's like just there's so much friction.
Yeah.
If we were to be cool and like fucking relax and breathe for 5 seconds then you know maybe it could work.
Yeah, because like as invigorating as like those intense moments could be, you really do need those calm moments just so you could like you say, like when you're like done dealing with just like chasing and hustling a life, you do need those quiet moments where you could just be calm.
Yeah,
it's really interesting though.
Yeah, and I think like melodically how that song kind of came about was one of the producers maybe like was started just playing chords, and then I was thinking the verse would be like I don't even remember, but how the chorus goes, ooh, ooh, oh. I was thinking that would be like, like that's what I was thinking that would be the verse, and then we kind of made it that it would be the chorus, and then ooh, oh, mm, oh, oh, that was gonna be the chorus with words. So it's just it's crazy how you can move parts, and it's like Tetris, and you're trying to figure out what pieces fit in what part and what sections of the melody can kind of be here, moved here, and what makes it cool. But so yeah, I really like that song. I'm getting ready to film a music video for that song.
Oh yeah, are you stoked for it?
I'm stoked, but it's been a hectic journey for sure.
Is it one of those things where like the like there's been so many changes and like trying to keep the, because I find this I work in production, I find this all the time where it's like you have your main idea but so many moving parts are almost trying to shift what the main idea is supposed to be. Is
yes.
That how it's going?
100%. And there's just like so, and because like we're low budget children out here in these streets.
Yeah,
like,
I feel you. The struggle's real.
It is like, okay, we couldn't get this space. Okay, shit. Well, then, but this place cost X amount. Well, we can't do that. Okay, where are we going to fucking shoot on the street? Like, where are we going to do this? You know, like, it's like just so crazy to, there's so many moving parts, and I have these grandiose, thankfully the director I'm working with is amazing, but she's also a realist, so she's just like, okay, Camille, straight up, like, this is what it is. Like, we can't have this, and this, because where is that budget coming from? But
yeah.
So it's dope. I'm co-choreographing it with this great artist friend of mine, and I'm like, I want dancers, I want 10 backup dancers, and like creative, like trying to even, that's just one aspect of it, let alone costumes and everything else.
Yeah.
Which after this I'm going to go invite costumes, but so it's amazing, and it is like, it's overwhelming, but it's all good, and yeah. So I'm excited, but we're shooting, so that's like the next big thing that's getting ready to be released.
That's really dope. I want you to talk to me about your tune, Bad Habit. Yeah, because one of the things that came across to me on that song, it feels like one of those songs, not to say that your other songs don't have this quality, but I feel like in this song particularly, it really comes across how much you poured yourself into the song. And I wonder, in terms of the writing, did it feel that way? Like, did it feel like one of those songs where, like, the words kind of poured out, or did you find...
Yeah, that was one of the first Camille Trust songs that ever came to be, into existence. So I think it felt the most in tune with me and my, like, I listen, you know, what I listened to growing up, or things like that, or song types of music that definitely inspired me, like gospel, R&B, that chord structure is very gospel-esque, right? But then... Yeah. And soul music and things like that, and I always just have always been attracted to those chord progressions, and that definitely has that. So I really do, that's what I truly like, was like, feel comfortable in those moments writing that song. And so it was, so yeah, and that song, when I do it live, is like one of the best songs that to do live, because I also love harmonies, and like there's a lot of harmonies in that, and with the backup singers, and it's great. I don't have that many backup singers.
Yeah.
Like the video, but
I was gonna ask about the video, because the video you have for it is so lovely. Like, I'd love to hear how that came together.
The video, so my ass was like, I'm just like a person that's like, I have this idea, it needs to happen now. How many people can we get? Like, what's the deal? It's like, you know, with the dancers and things like that.
Yeah.
But, so this is Ray Angry, who's this incredibly, incredibly well-known, incredible, gorgeous human being. He, like, plays for The Roots and all these other hella famous people. And he's just, and him and I met not too long ago. And so he, like, maybe he saw me sing, and he was just like, dude, like, let's do something. But not even for that song. But then I was getting ready to release the EP, and I've been performing this song live for like 3 years at this point. So I was like, Bad Habit has to be on it. It's such a good song. It would be so amazing that if it were to be like on the track as just like a live version, or a live version of the song, basically that, but the audio, just not the visual, obviously no video.
Yeah.
And I want singers, and I kind of want it to be this idea of like just all of us sitting around the piano, you know, drinking and hanging, and just like, this is kind of what happens, because there is an aspect of my life that, you know, I love the idea of just like surrounding myself with artists and singers and musicians and things like that, and just being like, let's sing, you know, like, and if I ever have people over, which is, you know, pretty often, I'll have friends over, and I'll be like, more just hanging out and eating dinner or something. I'll be like, let's sing, and everyone's like, Jesus Christ, like, every time, because we're all singers. But you know, it's hard to remember how, especially, you know, living here, it's hard to remember how that love and feeling that we have for it. So I like to remind me and others of that it is still such a beautiful thing of just bringing people together, and there's such joy that comes out of that within. So, and the harmonies, especially, and just having voices blend together and, like, you know, fit these parts.
Yeah.
So, I kind of wanted to emulate that idea in this song, audibly. Then I just had a friend come with a camera to kind of just shoot behind-the-scenes stuff, because he just, you know, again, is a creative and a great person, and he was just like, yeah, I'm down to just, like, come through with the camera and, like, see what happens. So we recorded it at Ray, and then I went to Ray and just was like, hey, I want to do this video. Can I bring 10 people over? However many people are in the video, I don't remember now. Can I bring all these people over to your house? It was like midnight on a Tuesday.
What the fuck?
And I was like, and can we record it? And he was like, I don't even have like the right equipment to like do this. And I was like, I was basically like, it needs to be done by Thursday, because I have to submit it to be like mixed and mastered by this day, because I have to submit it for this to be on the EP by this day. Like, it was like, I had to have it done in order to get it by the on the EP by the same day. And he was just like, you're crazy, man. You know, like, we're not even in a right, like, we're in my house, like, we're not even in a studio, like, not even, you can see no one has, like, in a professional setting, everyone would have, like, earphones, and everyone would have their own microphone in a perfect world, and there would be, like, post-set, and I would be in my own booth so that it wasn't bleeding into the other microphones. Yeah. His, in a perfect world, you know, his piano would be in tune. Like, he was like, I'm not going to play my piano. It's not even in tune. And I was like, we're playing it because we're recording it now, so it has to happen. You know, like, there was no choice. In any, for him, even.
I know it's, like, impossible to speak for people generally, but do you think he liked that attitude, the fact that you kind of had this gung-ho, like, we're going to do this, regardless?
Yes, I think that's why he likes me.
Yeah.
Because I've learned more and more that you just have to do it. Like, even in doing the music video and things, or just things, especially in this year, I've learned more about just, like, you know what? Okay, if that's not happening, how do we make it work? Okay, well, we're doing it, so how do we make it work? Because I'm not saying no. I'm not saying no, and I'm not doing it, so how do we make it happen?
Yeah.
And yes, there's definitely something to say about that attitude, but there also is something to say about it, because it's like, yes, in a perfect world, we would have a high-ass budget, and we would be in a perfect studio, and everyone would be getting paid, and everyone would be like, have a break, and there'd be food there, and blah, blah, blue, yeah. Like, but here we are, ordered 3 bottles of wine. Like, that's it.
Why do I get the feeling that the artwork for your EP came about with the same type of attitude? I want to describe it for people who listening and they haven't seen it. It's a photo of you standing in on the street looking bomb as fuck, but there's people walking by you, and you can definitely tell that those people aren't actors. They're just, like, regular people. And I'd love to hear the story of how this came together.
Same thing. In the sense of, in the same thing of, like, basically I just had set this goal of releasing the EP by this certain day, right? Yeah. But in order to have, once you release something I can't remember the word right now, and I'm so, oh my gosh. Once you submit something to be released onto streaming services, you have to release it with time so that it can be on these platforms by a certain day. So everything needs to be submitted at least a week. A week is actually, like, you should submit, like, 2 to 3 weeks, but at least a week so that it's all on these platforms by the certain day. But with the artwork, with the songs finished, obviously, and that's why Bad Habit was sort of... So it was just... This was a similar situation. Because I had this show set at National Sawdust on the 26th of May. So I was like, I'm going to release this everything by the 25th. And that's what's going to happen. No questions asked. It's happening. So I have a good friend, Tyler. Wow. Like, as telling this story, it's just like, I just have these fucking people in my life who thinks I'm a nut job, but they kind of love it. So they just, like, go along with it.
Yeah, go into it.
So Tyler's the same vibe. He's a photographer, wonderful, talented, is booked, gets paid, living his life. Here I am being like, hey, can you meet me? I had the vision of it, of looking at, like, looking fly as fuck in this bomb ass outfit, and, like, just having the chaos of the city behind me, and sort of emulating this idea of, like, yes, it's a mess out, it's a mess back there, but bitch, I look good. And that is kind of probably sums up my life. Like, just past the outfit is a little bit of a chaotic, busy city inside, but she looks good, so thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, I'm a photographer, and when I saw the cover, what I thought to myself was that, because I think it happens, like, you probably do this with a singer, where you try to get into the mindset of what another singer on a song you're listening to is thinking. So for me, I saw the photo, and I was like, man, I wonder how stressed out the photographer must have been trying to make all this work. Like, was he kind of relaying that to you at all?
We were, I mean, because it was kind of, it was literally like, he was like, I have 40 minutes. It was a situation where, like, he was running between breaks. I was like, we have to meet on, like, there's no, we have to, because I need to submit it by Friday, and maybe this was a Tuesday, right? And I, like, edited with visual, with graphics already on it by Friday. And this was just to get the photos. So this was maybe, like, Tuesday.
Wow.
And he was just like, okay. He was like, I'm between jobs, and I was planning on taking a lunch break, like, on this point, but if you want to meet me in Union Square, like, we can figure something out. So then, I don't even know how I thought of it myself, though, this idea of, like, me in a crosswalk stopped and you can sort of feel the motion of the people. But that really was the reality of it. It was kind of shot right around here in Flatiron.
Yeah.
So it was like, I just want me in the middle of this fucking crosswalk and all these people kind of going. So it was literally like, wait for the light. Okay, go, 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 go. Like, as soon as it got green and he's stuck in the middle, like, shot. And then, like, people are just crossing, obviously being like, Jesus. Like,
this you goofy could see, ass.
Yeah, like, Jesus Christ. Like, you know, and people are walking in front of the camera. There's dogs, like, whatever. It's a whole mess. There's people honking at us, like, it was chaos.
How many attempts until you got the shot? Or did you use, like, the whole 40-30 minutes?
No, because we walked all the way up. It was, like, because then I thought, like, it would be cool if it was, like, the opposite of that, and sort of having this idea of me on the other side of the street, and people walking, but somehow getting that perfect slice of, like, me, but then, like, you could still see, but everyone else is maybe blurred out, and I'm, like,
focused,
in the focus of it, but it's kind of the same. I just want chaos, and then me looking fierce as fuck within the chaos.
How do you feel about it in the eventual
It ended up so dope, because then I also was, like, I wanted to look, do you know the app Hooji?
Yeah, yeah.
So I wanted it to kind of look like the filtering effect of a Hooji, in the sense of, like, this retro, almost, like, was this picture taken in 1985, or was it taken now, or was it taken...
It has that vibe to it.
It does, but then someone has AirPods, you can notice in the picture, there's AirPods, so there is a date. It's dated to a certain extent. Ma'am, can you take out your AirPods and walk back again? But but that was the most, like, it almost, there were times where it was, like, just, you know, so it was kind of, who do we want to decide to be in the photo?
Yeah.
Obviously, those people have no idea.
Yeah, you brought up how you played National Sawdust Reset. I'd love to hear you talk about how that was. That's a beautiful room.
Oh, my gosh. It was a dream. It was a true, real, for real, for real dream come true. There is this girl, her name is Katie Jones. She is in charge of this thing called The Revolution at National Sawdust, which sort of showcases up-and-coming artists, soul, R&B, you know, Brooklyn-based artists who, and so she's been in charge of this, or so I've been hounding this girl to play for the Revolution for, like, over a year, maybe two. Like, just being like, I'm obsessed with National Sawdust. It's a dream of mine to play. Please let me know if you ever have an opening, blah, 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 blah. And then finally she gave me that date.
Wow.
Months ago, this was prior to even me thinking I was going to release the EP at that point. Because you just said, it's hard, because for a lot of artists and musicians, and I'm sure creatives and all types of artists, sit on things for a while to just be like waiting for the right time, or being like, oh, I need this to line up, and or I need this person, or I need this many followers, or I need to maybe have this, or I need to do this. And so I just decided in my brain, like, no, that's my biggest show ever, and I need to make sure all these motherfuckers come out of the woodwork for this. So I've learned, in order to get people to come out to things, you need to have a reason for them to come out to things. So if you're like, this is the EP release, like, people will come, because it's like, oh shit, we're celebrating, you know?
Yeah.
So, that's it.
Amazing.
It was a dream. The sound there is epic. The video looks insane.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I mean, like, I'm trying to think of the best way to ask this, but did you find yourself surprised by the turnout? Like, when you looked around the room and saw who was there, did you find yourself thinking, like, oh wow, these... Because it's kind of amazing to have people physically show how much they care.
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing, for sure, to realize and see and, like, people to be like, oh, fuck, like, word, you care, and you're amazing, whatever, yeah. So, yeah, it's a beautiful thing. My parents came up, which was really sweet.
Oh, man.
Cute. They came up from Florida. They showed up.
That's so dope, dude.
So, it was nice. It was definitely a really good day. Definitely there was a dramatic moment, as if, like, of course, like, my cellist... So for Move On, I had this dream. I wish you'd gone to the show, but my dream was to have this, like, my friend who, Christine Cruda, she plays cello.
Yeah.
My dream was to have her play the cello in this gorgeous whatever, and it was just gonna be me and her and my dancer from the video.
Yeah.
Performing this song, right? And the morning before, I think it was like the night before, because she tours with the Eagles.
Yeah.
She's booked and blahs. she was like, hey girl, like, I don't think I can make it, honestly. And I had asked her like months in advance, you know, so yeah. I was just like, fuck. And I'd like told everybody, I was like, we're gonna have a cello on the song, it's gonna be so dope, she's a badass chick with tattoos, like, yeah. we're fucking female, like, you know, whatever, empowerment, doing the whole thing. And she was like, yo, I'm so sorry, I can't do it. And I'm like, okay.
Holy shit.
Fuck me. Like, of course it's fine, I can have the guitarist play it, no problem. But it was just kind of like, I, you know, I had this vision of like doing this thing, whatever. So after sound check, I went to go buy yellow hats for the whole band to wear, because like yellow and red are kind of my brand.
Yeah.
So I like went to go to St. Mark's day of show to like go buy costumes for the freaking band. And I'm in the subway station at Bedford Ave, and there's a dude playing the cello, and I'm like, yo,
no way,
are you busy at 11 o'clock tonight perchance?
No way,
I swear to God. And he was like, I can be available, like, what's good? Like, who are you? You
no
know
way.
I swear to God. And I was like, I promise I'm fucking legit, I have my EP released tonight, I'll send you the song. I'm literally getting like the train is coming, I'm getting his number, praying I even fucking heard it right. Got out. By the time I sent him the song.
Yeah.
By the time I got out of the subway and was like on the street, he was like, yo, can we, he's like, I just ran home to like listen to the song, I just like had a few ideas, because he lives in Williamsburg.
Yeah.
His name is Christian Dupree. And he was like, yo, yeah, he's like, hey, I have some, so we're FaceTiming, and he's like playing the music video, and like, I didn't even give him a chart, I just sent him the music video.
He just
like,
was able to learn it from ear.
Yeah. So he's playing, I'm crying on St. Mark's, like listening to it, being like, yes, dude, yes, like, fuck yeah. He was like, dude, I'll be there. I was like,
and it went out like a hitch, right? It
was, and
like,
he slid.
Wow, dude. That's that's New York in a nutshell. Like, that's
New York in a nutshell, for sure.
Wow.
Also, New York in a nutshell is seconds before going on stage, my pants splitting up the ass crack. And me having a panic attack and full on, like, multiple people are with safety pins. Jesus Christ.
Do you know what? Honestly, there's no better way to end it than that. I mean, I really hope, I'm looking forward to people hearing this EP of yours. It's on Spotify and YouTube.
Yes! Please take a listen.
Yeah. Camille, thanks so much for the time to chat with me.
Thank you. Trust.
Gotta show up, gotta roll up while I'm riding on this high. It's like, it's right in front of me. Where I wanna be from the other side.